you know, the Brady thing he brought up again. Like, how old was he when he went to Tampa as a free agent? Was he 40 yet?
Yeah, had to be.
All right, so there's a reason why he wasn't commanding a top salary. He didn't take a pay cut. That's what the market offered him in that moment. Maybe a better way to say it is what he did throughout his career as
in
a
New
Patriot.
England. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that might have been what he was referring to, where
but you can't do that in the NBA.
Right, nope. And when you're Tom Brady and you're the second highest earner in your own household with Gisele Bündchen making more money than you, it's a little bit easier to settle for $15 million.
I wonder if that ever crosses people's minds. I know that we talk about that.
I reference it just because her net worth is greater than his net worth.
Yeah, but for all we knew, they were arguing for 5 years before they split.
Could
like,
be.
I don't.
And you know now that she is with child.
Yes.
She's about to run it back.
Yes.
So congrats to the Bündchens everywhere.
Is it a
trainer, the yoga guy. I believe her personal trainer.
I don't know who the yoga guy is. I don't follow the whole, like...
Yeah, it's...
I know Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. That's right. About as far as I go on celebrity couples.
When they broke up, she immediately was purportedly commingling with said fitness instructor.
Right, good for her.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pilates or yoga.
Sure. All of that stuff. You know. Yeah, be healthy.
Sure.
Yeah, abundant life.
Stretch it out.
Yeah, like, whatever.
You coming know. Up.
Yeah, do your thing. Anyway.
Anyhow.
Yeah, like... Can't do it in the NBA. Everything's guaranteed. But also, as far as assessing teams in general, like we can take that conversation just for a minute over to Brock Purdy. Stop. Stop asking him to take less than he's worth because he has rosy cheeks. Stop it. Stop it.
But Steph's a really good guy, Mark. And he's made...
Stop it. You don't do that in life. You shouldn't do that in life. They shouldn't do that in life. You should get every single dollar that you can.
After this year, his career earnings will be $413 million. And he's got another $120 to go.
Major. And that's just on the court.
Correct.
What's Under Armour paying him?
A lot. A lot. I don't know about
how many
that
dollars
much,
you've got. A lot.
Yeah. So yeah, he's doing all right. So Steph, go ahead and restructure. I'll tell you what, Steph, take the remaining 122 on your contract and rip it up and play for the vet, man. Do it for the fellas. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
If he even was allowed to, right?
I'm out.
The interesting one will be after he makes 62.6 in his last year when he is 39. If he does want to continue, what would that look like? I don't know if he gets a raise. I mean, you're right. He's worth every penny in what he brings to the arena.
Two more years after this one already
Correct.
Locked,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the one, the extension that he just signed.
62.6, right? Yep.
So good.
It's
so good.
You can get it.
Yeah.
Good if you can get it.
It's kind of rude of us when we do that and then we break it down per game. Because 62, you're getting damn close. If not, you're right around 750K yeah, per game.
Exactly.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Whether or not he plays.
Right. And he's not going to play for all of them.
Well, he's played in 32 of 40 this year.
He's kind of tracking toward a million per game, but that just totally flicks off what that guy does every day
yeah.
to be ready for these basketball games, which I'm pretty sure, even though I've never been a professional athlete, is pretty flippin' intense.
I can imagine.
Pretty intense.
So this year he makes about 700 grand a game. It's a little bit less, but let's just call it 700K.
Okay.
And he's missed 8 games. So that is $5.6 million for not playing.
For not playing.
Right.
Well, Klay Thompson got a whole max deal to not play the whole year.
Yeah, it turned out to be longer, but you're right. But... Again, I would never begrudge.
But, I mean, they're all worth it. Look,
yes.
I mean, they're completely worth it. What has happened to the worth of the Warriors since he arrived?
Right, and you mentioned it. Like, Steph comes out an hour and a half before a game on the road, and you've got people videotaping him dribbling the basketball and shooting left-handed layups.
Yeah.
And
this is kind of a fun, I think it's a fun mental exercise. You ever watch people in a situation like that? We go to a lot of Warrior games. You watch him come out on the court. Just imagine for a second being him. Okay? Arena's filling up. Everybody's there. Everybody's spending more money than they got. Popcorn's expensive. Beer's expensive. We're all lying. And we're all there to see him in an unscripted performance where trained millionaire professionals are there to stop him. That sounds so nauseatingly scary. Like the tension headache that must accompany being that kind of a performer, I can't even imagine it. Never, never ask him to take $1 less.
Yeah.
Ever. Ever. Well, we're there to see him.
Right. And think about it in terms of Taylor Swift when she goes on stage.
Oh, my
and
God.
Yes, there's pressure because, you know, it takes a certain amount of physicality to dance and hit the notes and perform, but she's not being guarded.
Totally scripted.
Okay, it's totally scripted.
Totally scripted.
Occasionally, fans will try to burst up on stage, and she's got a cadre of security who are going to try to defend her. But, you know, she goes through her 18 songs and her four encores, and we're on to the next act. And, you know, she's got everybody looking out for her, and it's scripted, and there's no defense.
I love
this dude is 6'2", running around with seriously. Three grown men hounding him
right.
physically and emotionally trying to stop him.
Lovely Christy, I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this. Years ago, she would tend a bar, and she did some stuff around the where the 49ers play. And I guess there were certain 49er players, I won't name them, because alcohol involved. But anyway, there were certain 49ers that would come into the bar. And they would get to talking about their jobs. And, you know, they would always be like, oh, you do such a good job. You know, we love you, whatever. But and she'd be like, my job is easy. There's nobody here trying to stop me. That's what I admire about your jobs. Imagine, I don't care what you do in life, but imagine when you got to work. There are trained millionaires there trying to tackle you.
Yeah.
Or stop you, or block your shot, or whatever. It's all unscripted. And we're all there, spending hundreds, in some case thousands of dollars. We're there to watch him do it. Like,
not only watch him do it, but you better have a good game.
Because
I paid a lot of money. I'm in Indiana, and I just dropped $300 a ticket to come and watch, yeah, the Pacers, whatever. I came to watch you make 7 threes, Steph. You better be on your game, or I'm going to be mad.
It's funny. It's just a funny way to think about it. That's all.
Think about our job. Like, we have people trying to stop us, but it's just one click away, and it's whoop.
They text us. They're like, you suck at this.
Okay.
That's good. Okay. Yeah. Let's go to Skills in Vallejo. Hi, Skills. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Willard. Hello, Willard and Dibs.
Hello.
The reason why I'm calling, let me just say, I like the Warriors winning games as much as anybody. I was going nuts last night. When Steph hit his late three-pointer, when Wiggins was getting all the rebounds, the free throw, I was going crazy. I love the Warriors winning as much as anybody. And that being said, I'm not saying they should start losing games. I'm not saying they should give up on trying to continue to win. But I am saying that all this talk about maximizing Steph, getting him one more championship, why? I mean, we don't have – it's not the end of the world if Steph doesn't get his fill. It's not going to change his legacy. He's still going to go into the Hall of Fame. He's still going to have number 30 retired. He's still going to be gazillionaire time and time over again. It's not going to change anything. What will change, though, if we go all in, and it turns out we go all in for the wrong guy, or who ends up being the wrong guy, somebody like, and you guys throwing around the name Zion Williamson earlier, and Zion Williamson can be counted on to come into the Chase Center and score a few points, score a few baskets, throw his weight around for about a week or two, and he's going to be out for 6 weeks. And then what? We've already mortgaged. This is going to cost, what, draft pick after draft pick after draft pick, plus the few assets we have now to get in a superstar.
Yeah.
Right now, the Milwaukee Bucks want to say, hey, you know, we really like that guy Payton, or we really like that guy Moody. We're going to give you, if we give you Giannis, will you give us Moody and Payton? Now, if they want to do that, I'm not going to stop it. I'm not going to argue with that. That's not likely, though. But if the Milwaukee Bucks or whatever the team superstar is going to cost us 8 draft picks over the next 6 years, and by the time 2028 rolls around, we got Steph Curry retired, and our best player is somebody like, I don't know, Kira Lewis, off the, you know, the former Pelican, or somebody like the big guy that they just traded away, Hartenstein, or somebody like that, and that's our best player who we're building around. I don't want that. If that's how it's going to happen to be.
Skills, I totally get it. I think what your point is, and thank you, is if you're going to do something like this, and it's going to be really like an over-the-top big deal, you want to be as sure as you can be. You never can be sure. but you want to minimize the risk on something like that. The one area where I do disagree with you, though, is where you're like chasing winning for Steph. What's the point? His legacy is firm, and he's got all the money. Kind of like, why are we chasing that? Well, because that's what we do. That's sports. Like Steph Curry, if he felt the way that skills just sort of categorized it, then he would retire. But he doesn't want to retire yet.
Right.
He wants to keep playing.
Of course, but you can chase it without making a big deal, and that's kind of what he was saying last night.
He's responsibly.
Saying, ease up on the Twitter fingers, shut up and let us work this out, and see if what they have is close enough to where you can make a small move, and you don't have to chase it by making a giant move.
Fitz joins us in a few. Time for Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. The Warriors made plenty last night. 18 three-pointers means another donation from Pettinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco, which is fantastic. Steph led the way with 7 threes. Moody, Buddy, 3 each. Wiggins had a couple from downtown. That is the 17th donation of the season for Triples for Autism from Pettinelli, and we're so supportive of that. To make a donation to autism yourself or to get involved, go to sfautismsociety.org. That was Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PettinelliFP.com. We're also sponsored by Chilton Auto Body, and Bob Fitzgerald joins us next on Willard and Dibs.
To Dillard and Wibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay. I don't know how much sleep this man's gotten, because I sat there and watched TV last night, and he was in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And now he's here.
Well, I mean, come on.
I mean, I know. It's 4:20 in the afternoon, but still.
Yeah.
Still.
Depends if you're a plane sleeper or not. And I would imagine, with Bob having been in the association for 25 years, I'm guessing. He has to have learned to sleep on planes.
Well,
by now.
Let's find out. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Bob Fitzgerald joins us now, right here on Willard and Dibs. How much sleep did you get, Bob?
First of all, how does Dibs shortchange me by 7 years?
Yeah, I was I'm like, I'll take the over.
My first Warrior game in 93. It's 32 years ago.
Well, Bob, if you've been doing it for 32 years, that means you're a certain age, and I know you're a couple clicks older than me, and I guess I have a hard time coming to terms with how old I am. So let's just pretend it's your 14th year, and it's the year 2000 again. Bob, I'm
sounds
so sorry.
Good.
Yeah.
Sounds good. No, I am not a plane sleeper. Kalena Azubuki knows that, and he sits on the aisle. I sit on the window, and as soon as the plane's engines start, he is asleep. And usually if I have to get up in the middle of the flight, I have to climb over him. So he's not thrilled with me on that. But no, I'm a movie guy. I'm a read-a-book guy. I'm a check-out-the-news guy. And for whatever reason, I do not sleep on planes, which really sucks for my job.
I was going to say.
What time did you get back to your house last night or this morning?
Hey, you know what? It looks great about 4 a.m. in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
There's no traffic. It's fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Well, at least you guys had a happy flight, I would imagine. How do you think, you know, there was the disappointment in Toronto, but then to rebound, what do you think that did for the guys emotionally?
Well, here's a funny thing, just to just give people a little window into the world here. Pro athletes don't really get too high and don't really get too low. So a lot of the flights are the same, whether it's, you know, a nail-biting win or a super tough loss. And because the job, the games come so fast and furious that I think if you rode that roller coaster, you would drive yourself crazy and you probably wouldn't be able to center yourself to kind of keep going in the long grind. So, I mean, guys were happy, but they were okay flying out of Toronto too, even though that was a real, very frustrating loss. But I think what the road trip showed, and it's, we've seen in the Warriors 20-20 right now, is that they play the most clutch games along with Minnesota as any team in the league. They led the league in clutch games last year. All these games come down to the final 5 minutes. Unfortunately, in the last couple of years, the Warriors have kicked away a bunch of those games. Just they're not the dominant, you know, closing team that they used to be. But they're in the mix. They're entertaining, and on any given night, they can get you. And I think it's odd that, you know, Minnesota swept the Warriors last year, and yet the Warriors now beat Minnesota this year 3 out of 4 times, and the season series is over. So, you know, the vagaries of the NBA on a given night. Toronto, frustrating loss for the Warriors. Toronto's next game, they go beat Boston by 13 points in Boston. So, like, this is a league we play in. It's definitely different on a nightly basis.
And you look at last night, Bob, and such an unbelievable start, and the 3-ball going down for Steph. Minnesota a little sleepy, and apologize for you not getting a lot of sleep, but Minnesota sure looked like they were asleep in the first quarter. But you look at the collective effort, and what do you attribute it to as far as the victory, other than shots finally going in?
Well, I think the thing is, Dibs, is that this is a super deep team. So I think you look at, you know, you're going to play that game. Minnesota's won 4 out of 5. They've got Anthony Edwards. Like, look out. Here they're coming. And you're like, wait, Draymond's not going to play, and Kyle Anderson's not going to play, and Kuminga's not going to play, and Pajemski's not going to play. But Guy Santos plays well. GP2 finally is healthy and has a big impact. Buddy Hield, I'll throw a number at you here that just shows everything about the Warriors. Buddy Hield had 18 points. When Buddy Hield has 18 points, the Warriors are 10-0 this year.
Yep.
They have yet to lose a game. And it just shows if they get a secondary scorer to help out Steph. And the key last night was Wiggins, Buddy, and Steph. You know, that's the thing. Wiggins has had a very nice year. But if you look at the games missed, I mean, Steph's missed 8, Wiggins has missed 6, Kuminga's missed 8, Draymond's missed 7, Pajemski's missed 10, GP2's missed 11. Like, they need that depth. They need all the pieces, which is how they started 12-3, because they didn't have any injuries then. Everybody played, and they beat Boston and, you know, ended up beating OKC and played real good basketball. So I just think last night was sort of, hey, Guy Santos, it's your chance. Kevon Looney and Trace, you got all the center minutes. Buddy, we need you. Okay, he was there last night. And GP2, go guard Anthony Edwards, and Gary does that better than anybody. So, you know, and then Steph's brilliant. You know, Steph is Steph. So it was a great game. Minnesota, hell of a comeback, and the Warriors needed every one of those points that they built up in the first quarter for sure.
Bob Fitzgerald with us on Withered and Dibs. Fitz, I wonder what your take is on what the discussion has been all week, and I know you guys have been on the road. But clearly the Warriors were aware of all of it. Earlier in the week, it was like, look, we're not going to make an irresponsible trade. Last night, it was like, wait a minute, y'all didn't take that as a white flag, did you? What's your take on both what they've said and the way the NBA world has reacted?
Well, first of all, I mean, we all know, I mean, the NBA world, if the Warriors, you know, burp, people lose their mind. I mean, they are the team. They get all the coverage. They get, you know, every single article and this and that. And why do you do that in today's world? Because if you write Warriors, Steph Curry, or Steve Kerr, or Draymond Green in a headline, people will click on it. So that's just reality. So the Warriors live in that fishbowl, and they know it. But I think in the last couple years, when we were just in a city where you saw it, Minnesota makes a big move with Rudy Gobert, and there's almost 5 number one picks that go in that draft. And then Mikal Bridges goes from Brooklyn to New York, and there's 5 number ones in that draft, you know, in the trade. And then you look at Bradley Beal goes to Phoenix, and there's all these number ones. And you go back to Paul George and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and all these number ones. And I think the coin of the realm now is if you want any kind of significant piece, it's, you know, 3 number ones and 3 players and 4 pick swaps and all this crazy stuff. And so I think the Warriors, you know, when they're asked honest questions, they kind of answer honestly, like, hey, at the deadline, would you trade 7 number ones and all 3 of your young players to get a player? And they're like, no, we're not going to do that. But it doesn't mean, aren't you going to try to be better each and every day? Of course, you know, if there's trades that would make sense and augment this team, absolutely they would do that. But the idea of don't have a pick until 2033 or something, the way you got Steph, Clay, and Draymond and these players were draft picks. So you can't just, I think, willy-nilly toss those away looking super short-term. And I think that was just the genesis of the conversation. And then because it's the Warriors, people go nuts.
Yeah, and I was looking at the way the Spurs elongated their dynastic run, Fitz, and they drafted Ginobili in the second round, and then they drafted Tony Parker. Of course, they drafted Tim Duncan and the rest of it, and then they made a savvy trade to get Kawhi Leonard in a draft day deal. So I do think there's great value in those picks. And the one thing that I'm sure you hear a lot about on this station and every station is Jonathan Kuminga and whether or not he should be trade bait and what they see as the future. When you look at Jonathan this year and put aside the ankle injury, and hopefully he's back in the next couple of weeks, but how big of a leap have you seen him make just from the start of the year to now?
It's such a great question, Dibs. I mean, first of all, young players that are talented are going to be talked about in the league because if you're calling a team, you're always asking about young talent. I mean, that only makes sense, right? You know, so I'll find young guys. Hey, let's call the Timberwolves. Let's ask about Anthony Edwards. Of course you would. I mean, that's what happens. So I think for Kuminga, what is intriguing before the ankle injury, and Steve Kerr alluded to it, the numbers reflected things to help you win. See, I think there's guys in the league, and it's always been this way, that I call them angel food cake numbers, where, oh, this guy scores 20 a game or 18 a game, but doesn't guard anybody or doesn't rebound or doesn't do things that help you win. So I don't look at just stats. I look at what are you doing and how are you accumulating those stats. And what I love for JK in, you know, his recent vintage was he got rid of the mid-range jumper. When he gets his feet set and has a catch-and-shoot three, he makes a fair amount of those. Great. But he and Wiggins are the only two guys on the team that can attack the lane, dunk, lay it in, get fouled, get the team in the bonus, speed dribble and finish on the break like no human being I've ever seen for his size. You know, Kuminga started, hey, I'm going to get rid of the 16-footer that is I'm bailing out a defender. I'm going to go, you know, bull my way into the lane. I'm going to get to the glass. He started to rebound at a good rate. And then defensively, working with Draymond, working with Kevon, working with Trace, working with Wiggins, like, hey, look at JK starting to guard too. So, you know, I always tell people, this kid's 21 years old. You know, same thing with Moody. When you see 21, 22, the light bulb hasn't gone on and when you're that young sometimes in the game. And so for JK, I was just really pleased, just like Steve was, that the games up until when he got hurt, I think it was the best basketball he'd ever played. And he fit in the best. And so it was 30 minutes a night off the bench. People got crazy about starting lineups again. But 30 minutes, which are starter minutes, but stats that led to good things and good basketball. And I think Jonathan, when he comes back from the ankle, his mindset's changed. And I think he's at his best. And it's exciting to see kind of where he's going.
Fitz, we know you're tapped in around the league, and we spend so much time on this show talking to listeners about what they think should happen. I'd love to ask you what you think is going to happen. Like, do you expect a really active deadline, not just for the Warriors, but in totally around the league?
You know, Mark, when you look at it, OKC is on a different planet. Boston, Cleveland are on a different planet. There are some moons circling these planets. You know, I could see the Knicks making a run. I could see Memphis doing something. But, man, you've got teams in the West and the East that really are in a different stratosphere than a lot of the other teams. So do you look at it and say, hey, we're going to have this busy deadline because we're chasing the Thunder. We're chasing Boston and Cleveland. You could. I mean, the Denver Nuggets, as long as you have Jokic, you're always in play to be amazing. But I think there are teams that look at Dallas's run last year. Dallas was 26-23. Okay, they're only three games over 500, 49 games into the season. And they got Daniel Gafford and P.J. Washington. And people went, oh, okay, they got those two guys. But it fueled a run where they finished 24-9 and then were so hot through the playoffs, they made it all the way to the finals. And so I think teams are looking at those type of deals. You know, what do I have? You know, if I'm Denver, I've got Jokic, I've got Jamal Murray, I've got Gordon. And then, you know, what do I need? You know, they probably would be in the market for maybe a disgruntled off guard who's been really good, who's saying he wants to be traded. I don't know what team would have that guy. But
I can't
maybe
think of one.
You know, yeah, maybe near South Beach or something.
Huh.
But those type of teams look at it. If I'm Phoenix, when they're healthy, when you have Durant and Bradley Beal and Booker, there's a reason they got Nick Richards yesterday, because they need a center to kind of help out. Nurkic and Plumlee haven't worked out as well, but Budenholzer is a great coach, and there's a ton of talent on that team. So could they get hot and make a run? Of course they could. And so, you know, I look at what Houston has done. Who'd want to play Houston in a seven-game series? You'd have so many bruises on your body, you would need a massage for like the next 6 weeks when the season was over. Like, the Rockets play so hard. So I think there are teams where you're like, hey, there's some real title contenders this year. But around the edges, there's teams in both conferences that kind of feel like, hey, let's do that Dallas thing. Let's get one or two guys, maybe jumpstart something, and see if we can have a 24-9 run to finish the season and then ride that hot hand through the playoffs.
Is there a type of player, and I don't want you to have to name check any available targets because you probably have knowledge that you don't want to share, but the Warriors, it seems like, have more depth when everyone gets healthy than they can really utilize. Is there a player type out there that you would love to bring in to use some of the depth in a trade to bring in a rotational piece?
Well, I don't think that, you know, it's any state secret that spacing matters so much in the NBA. And so when you look at a big that can space the floor, you know, Kevon and Trace are both in the lane. You know, even the Indiana game when Quentin Post came in for just a couple minutes, on Quentin's had two 30-point games in Santa Cruz, and so for the 52nd pick, it's like, okay, you know, but that's a seven-footer that has three-point ability, and there are some seven-footers in the league that can do that. When the Warriors have a big that can space the floor, now everything's not as congested for Steph and for Buddy. So if I've got Buddy Hield in one corner, I've got a big that's bringing the other big out near the, you know, the three-point line because he's a threat from three. Now Kuminga can drive. Now Wiggins can drive. Now Draymond can get in the pocket and then dish out to Steph or Buddy Hield or, you know, a spacing big and stuff like that. So I just think if you look at the Warriors structurally, you know, a big that's a three-point threat would be an issue. And that's why when Draymond is shooting 40% on threes, he's getting all he can eat, and, you know, teams are daring him to make them. And when Draymond's hitting threes, the Warriors are really good because that's a guy that is now spacing the floor from a big position, a 4 or 5 spot. Same thing when Kuminga is able to hit a couple threes and stuff. So when you say type of player, you know, a big that can space the floor, you know, that's something that I think would augment a lot of what the Warriors have on the roster right now.
And we won't say any names from you, but I'll mention that Nikola Vucevic will be here a week from tonight. Just saying.
Hey!
If anybody wants to watch Nikola Vucevic, I don't know which jersey he'll be wearing, but he'll be here next Thursday night. All right, Bob Fitzgerald joining us here on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, I still really like Dennis Schroeder, but it's been a bumpy sort of start for him. What's your take on what's going on there?
Well, first of all, he's a pick-and-roll point guard. So the Warriors haven't really had a pick-and-roll point guard. And so they don't run a lot of pick-and-roll that way. And so you saw the opening series of the game yesterday. It was Schroeder, you know, kind of baiting Gobert, lob to Trace, boom, dunk, perfect pick-and-roll. I think when Steph sits, Schroeder running the team is as good a backup point guard as they've had since having Chris Paul, who, by the way, was a pick-and-roll point guard and kind of had Trace burst on the scene because he got to play with Chris Paul. So, you know, I think Schroeder probably is there for the non-Steph minutes, but what Dennis really does is he's a good defender. I mean, D'Anthony Melton being injured obviously hurt this team at a big, big level because he was the perfect tag team partner for Steph, both offensively and defensively, and he's a little bigger than Schroeder. But Dennis Schroeder's guarding Cade Cunningham. Dennis is in there kind of gumming up things with Minnesota last night. I mean, he is such a pesky defender and such a smart player, and I think leadership-wise, he's fit in terms of, you now have Draymond, who's a voice, and Steph, who's a voice, and Schroeder, who's a voice, and Kyle and Looney, who are voices. And so he and Steph, like a pick-and-roll point guard with Steph, okay, hey, play off the ball, but he's never really played with like a one that plays that way with that high screen role. Yeah, there's some adjustment to it. But I think after Melton got hurt, the save to get Dennis Schroeder is amazing. Like, amazing that they were able to acquire him, you know, and obviously hopefully DeAnthony's surgery goes great and he's back in the league next year, because he's a special player that, man, it was only six games, but I sure love watching him play with the Dubs.
Man, a genius move to acquire Schroeder when they did, because they could possibly trade him the day before the deadline. Not saying they want to, but he would be eligible to be dealt. Hey, Bob, why doesn't Kyle Anderson get more playing time? I thought that a two-way player and a glue guy, that he'd be getting more run than he is.
You know, I think it's interesting, and he's got the same flu that kind of Draymond's had, is that he is a little bit duplicative of Draymond, but there are times you can play Kyle at kind of the five, because he's such a good passer. You know, he was a point guard his whole life, and then he had a big six-inch growth spurt later, and he has all these guard skills. But I think they have spotted him at different times. And then, like Looney, he's been such a professional where Steve's like, hey, I'm going to go with Kuminga in these minutes, or I'm going to give Moody an opportunity. You know, you and Kevon are going to be the guys that are going to sit out a little bit. And Kyle's just such a pro's pro that, you know, he knows it's a long season. And he is fun to watch play. Kalen and I love his passing ability. He's got that 7'3 wingspan, so, you know, he ends up picking pockets a lot in terms of knocking balls away. Super tough guy, and, you know, you love the slow-mo stuff, because he does not just squeeze off random perimeter shots when the game is going against you. He'll put his head down and get in the lane, get fouled, make a shot inside, and he's just a great guy to have on the roster. But, you know, you guys are alluding to, when you've got 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 guys that you feel like you can play, you know, it's a whack-a-mole for Steve. Kind of like, okay, Steph's going to play. Got that. Okay, Draymond's going to play. Got that. Okay, on a given night, who else is playing? You know,
that's right.
And that's where you get into different matchups and who's healthy and who's hot and who's struggling and who's playing good and trying to mix and match on some of those nights.
Bob Fitzgerald with us. Hey, man, go enjoy a couple nights off. And then Jordan Poole's in town this weekend.
Jordan Poole, and then you weren't even going to ask me about the national championship game on Monday night?
Well,
we were. Come on.
We were. I mean.
We kind of know which way you would lean as far as a prediction goes.
8-point underdog, Bob. I mean, it just feels like a real uphill battle for you.
It probably is. It probably is. Although, I have a degree from both institutions. So.
Oh, whoop.
I got my master's at Ohio State, so I win either way.
So you're rooting for Ohio State?
No.
Okay. Are you going to do the Joe Montana thing and wear a split jersey
right.
for each and
no.
say, I can't
no.
lose?
No, I will actually be in Atlanta for that game, and I will proudly be having Notre Dame gear on. So
beautiful.
I'll be there for that.
Of all the all-time Fitz flexes, that might be my favorite. Just flex on a Masters, because we all know you're an Irish, but didn't know you had a Masters and didn't know you were a Buckeye too, Bob. Well done. Good flex.
Hey, you're already shortchanging me 7 years of my career. What the hell? I might as well flex a little on the way out.
32 years, Bob? I mean, how old are we, for crying out loud? My goodness.
Hey, old enough that I'm taking my college graduate Notre Dame son with me to the, you know, to the game.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, I'll leave you. This is the ultimate flex.
Okay.
The last time Notre Dame won a national championship, some guy named Bob Fitzgerald did the student radio broadcast of that game in the Fiesta Bowl against Major Harris.
Virginia.
That's how long it's been.
Man.
Oh, my goodness.
Lucas Rockney?
Lucas wants to know what you got your master's in.
Sports management.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sports manager came out and worked for this company called Bay Area Hockey 91 that somehow became the San Jose Sharks.
Man.
How about that?
You got to name the team and pick the jerseys and pick the logo and sell the tickets and the whole bit.
You flex so much, you should be a professional bodybuilder, Bob.
You guys are fantastic. I tell you what, I never miss your conversation with Steve each week. It's really good, guys.
Oh, appreciate
Thanks, Bob.
It, Bob. Yeah. Now we get to flex. Thank you very much. Go get some rest, man.
All right. Hey, anytime. Great talking to you. Made my day.
Okay.
All right,
us too. There he goes. Bob Fitzgerald, who will not go to the Warriors-Celtics game on Monday. He will go to Notre Dame, Ohio State.
And there you go. And, you know, when you attended both and got degrees from both, you can. He might be out there doing the ceremonial coin toss.
That'd be incredible.
I do love the Fitz flex.
We got to text him off air. I got to see, even if I got to superimpose this, we got to do the Joe Montana thing and have Fitz in an Irish and Buckeye jersey with his shrugging his shoulders going, yeah, I can't lose today.
Pretty funny.
Oh,
pretty funny.
Still annoys me. Anyway.
32 years, my God. I thought 25 was a fair ballpark, but I was way
off. I had a feeling when you said it, I'm like, feels a little low.
You know how these years go.
Yeah, they fly.
Yeah.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Knockout tournament is back. We'll tell you more about that coming up. And now we're back wide open for you. Let's take some Warrior phone calls. When you hear Steph Curry say what he said this week, hey, we're not going to be irresponsible. And then he followed it up with, hey, if you think I'm okay being mediocre, you're insane. And throw your Twitter fingers away. We'll play all the comments for you from Steph if you haven't heard these. But we would love your reaction as well. What did that do for you? What did the win do for you? Where does it leave you, the Warrior fan, today? 888-957-9570. Call right now to Willard and Dibs.
What is going on here?
It's such a great question, Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Wow, who's going to be flexing now?
Yeah, it's going to be me for the moment.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Nice job.
From Greg Cosell to Bob Fitzgerald, that's a pretty good week so far.
That's a 1-2 punch.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Especially when you get a name check from Bobby Fitz. And we do go back. So, I mean, I hope he knows my name. I've known him for...
That's a great question, Dibs.
Yeah,
known him for 30. I mean, he's been doing it 32. I don't know if I've known him quite that long, but close.
Well, if you've known him for 30, then you would know that he was already an NBA broadcaster when you met him.
Yes,
and
but I
tried to hang a 25 on
him. I didn't do the math on it, but of course it's more than 25 because when he was a young broadcaster, I reached out to him. Because we have a mutual friend, and you know the family, the Igo family.
Yes.
And the Fitzgeralds are also Foster City royalty. And so when I wasn't a young broadcaster, but I was trying to get a nudge, I called Bob, and he gave me some good advice.
He lived on the exact same street as my parents.
Wow.
After I had already left. But literally the exact same street. And it was a tiny little street. He was on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Dibs, are you telling me that Fitz made your career? So you're responsible for everyone else's career, but they all fall under the Fitz tree?
That's right. It's like you're Kyle Shanahan, but he's Mike Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what it's like.
So you're saying he's my daddy.
Yeah. Like, if you're Belichick, he's Parcells.
Yeah. He did give me a nudge. Just a nudge. Not what I've done
Don't diminish it. Don't dismiss it, dismisser.
Oh, there we go. We're back to that. Yeah. Well,
don't you do it. Don't you do it. He made you.
Well, he also made the Sharks, too, apparently. So
yeah.
Pretty impressive company.
And Notre Dame and Ohio State and the Warriors.
And many others, too. Many others.
Didn't even tell us about the Sabercats.
Yeah. Well,
don't get him started.
Believe me, when he was doing play-by-play for the Sabercats and we would have a situation where there was also a Warrior game, your boy would get Fitz's crumbs. Hashtag Fitz's crumbs. I got to do a game in Tulsa. I got to do a game in Tampa. Yeah, Fitz, thank you. Hashtag Fitz is crumbs.
I didn't know exactly what you meant by that when you said it. Like, I didn't know if you actually meant you ate, like, his leftovers off of his media meal.
No, what I meant was when he had another gig, a.k.a. the Warriors,
yes,
and they needed somebody to do play-by-play for the Sabercats, I would get the trickle-down Fitzonomics.
So you were strength in numbers.
Essentially,
yeah,
I was Quentin Post.
You were...
And it's actually kind of a funny story how I did play-by-play for one television Division I basketball game. It was Santa Clara at St. Mary's with Dan Belwamany doing color commentary. It was a big deal.
I love Dan.
And he's the best.
Yes.
And the reason why I got the gig is because five or six other play-by-play broadcasters were all busy. So they were running out of names now.
Man.
So your boy got the call. Pretty awesome. TV.
That's like how Pete Carroll got the USC job and then became Pete Carroll. He was like the fifth choice.
Yeah, I was still
like, what about this guy? No? About that guy? He available? No. No.
It's like Kyle Shanahan and defensive coordinators.
Yeah, exactly.
Grandy's just mad today.
Well,
you had to take it there.
And he delivered it with his mouth full of food. He was so earnest to get that one line out there.
Talk about Fitz's crumbs. What are you eating in there?
Seriously.
What are you eating?
A sandwich.
All right.
Well, Sandel. It's getting close to dinner time.
Yeah.
And as a man who eats constantly throughout the show, you got to respect it.
Yeah, I'm done with everything I brought. So the show's going to have to end here within an hour or so, or I'll melt.
Yep. I like our chances of getting there.
We'll go home and make some cheeseburgers.
There you go.
Yeah.
You do know Grandy eats the exact same meal every single day, right? You should never have to ask him what he's eating.
Well, but except for, is it like...
No, it's the exact same.
Well, but is it the same, like, mm-hmm. it's not... This isn't the only thing he eats.
Well, for lunch, afternoon snack, dinner.
This is my second meal of the day.
Yeah. What is it, a turkey sandwich or something?
Yeah, and a sliced apple.
Every day?
Yep.
That's weird. Do you do that on the weekends?
No.
Okay, what do you eat on the weekends?
Weekends are less organized. Just kind of depends what's going on that day.
So you got a good question from Greg Cosell, Bob Fitzgerald, and I got one from Lucas.
Tie game.
And it was interrupted by someone else's answer.
What do you eat on the weekends?
Boy, that's a great question.
Listen, I'm an interviewer. It's what I do.
I'm going to eat it.
The probing question.
Yeah. Lucas should have given you a Buster Olney on that. And that's a great question.
The best one is still Andrew Filippone. I mean,
dude, that's a great question. That's a great question. That's a really good question.
It's literally the Looney Tunes of that's a great question. That's a great question.
So many pump fakes.
Yeah, yeah. And how many people in our audience got the Looney Tunes reference?
Well, nothing says you're turning 50 like a Looney Tunes reference.
Not Grandy, not Lucas.
That's great. I think it's going to be a really tight game.
That's another good one.
That one was the biggest tease of all time, Schlereth.
Yep.
That's why you're not on the show anymore, Stink.
Wow.
Yeah.
Took that personally.
No, it's just the end of the season. Anyway, you know what's happening right now? The Cavs are playing the Thunder.
Wow. Two really good NBA teams.
Oh, my gosh. It is NBA... sex.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's exciting.
It is. Donovan Mitchell's not playing, though, which I didn't know.
Load management?
I don't know. I really don't know. And OKC is going to have vengeance on their minds. I love OKC in this one tonight because it's at OKC. There's no Mitchell. Cleveland got him last week, but this is just... I will say this, as a Warrior fan, as we sit here and unpack all of the opinions, trade, no trade, is the era over, is it not over, one more shot, ring number 5, scrape into the playoffs. When you watch the Cavs play the Thunder, it's like, oh. Never mind. Like, you watch that. And it'll make you feel like they're pretty far away.
Yeah.
That's how it'll make you feel.
Donovan Mitchell, by the way, is playing, although the Cavs wish he wasn't. He's one of six from the floor.
They just showed him on the sideline with
like a three-piece suit?
No, it looked like street clothes, though.
Unless this is... No, I'm confirmed. It is Donovan Mitchell.
Okay,
it was Darius Mitchell or...
Yeah.
No, Denisha Mitchell.
It is Donovan. He's
okay.
In there.
All right. No, my fault.
It's all right.
Must have just had a big old hoodie on, and that must have just been a shooting hoodie.
They might have asked him to change out of his uniform after he started 1-for-6.
All right, there
Yo
it is.
Yo, D, get your streets on.
Yeah.
You're done.
All right. Well, they're off to OKC. Set your watch to it. Off to a good start. They're already up by 7 there late in the first quarter.
An interesting cycle back to Fitz and what he said and... You know, basically, he described Nikola Vucevic as a player they should want to get. And you put the name out there, and he was like, bingo!
Yeah,
and he got excited.
His answer was like, yes, that's who I'm talking about without talking about. I do like it.
Yep.
I like it. If they can get Nikola Vucevic and they can do it without getting all freaked out and first-round picks and, you know, Dennis Schroeder, no. No, but is there a deal out there for either a way into the future first rounder? I'd be open to it if they can do it for a couple of second rounders and some of the pieces that are depth pieces on the Warriors. If that's possible, then I'm in. But you know, as we were discussing with Nick Friedel yesterday, he's like, Chicago's weird. And you don't know what they want. Like, they keep everything pretty close to the vest, and they make odd decisions sometimes. So I don't know how that one's going to play out. But if I'm the Warriors, that's the middle ground, and that's the guy who I would try to go get.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the way I was asking Bob was, do the Warriors have the depth pieces? And he basically said, yes, they do. And when everyone's healthy, you're not going to go back to this we're playing 12 thing that they started the year with. So I do think that Pods is going to come back eventually. I don't know the severity of what's going on. And, you know, Kuminga will be reevaluated in a week. And the expectation for me would be he's going to be out for maybe another 2 weeks, maybe longer, because the injury, when they say reevaluation after 3 weeks, tells me it's a grade two, which means 3 to 6 weeks he'll miss. But yep, when he comes back and Pods comes back and Draymond's over his ailment, you're back to that same issue of having 12 guys for 10 spots.
888-957-9570. We are reacting tonight to this.
All the Twitter fingers who's got deals that they need, that we need to make, can kind of just shut up a little bit and let us figure this thing out. Like, we know we can be competitive, and we showed, you know, that toughness tonight. Obviously, every team is trying to find ways to get better, and for us, we've been great for a very long time. This is just a unique year where we have to be able to stay relevant and give ourselves a chance and just have some life in a playoff series, and we have a whole lot of confidence that we can, you know, beat anybody. So yeah, that's it.
Okay, but it wasn't it, because then he also spoke on the local the post game, and this is what he said with regard to the similar subject.
Anybody who thinks that I'm okay with just being an average basketball on an average basketball team is insane. Take whatever I said, I still stand on it, but it doesn't mean that you're not in a situation where you're trying to get better, make appropriate moves that help you do that. Mike knows that. We've talked about it. That's the expectation for me, trying to help lead the team where we want to go. Again, that doesn't mean that you're reckless. What people's definition of that is where I was talking about the Twitter fingers thing. Like, trade machines are fun, but what does that actually look like? So we're going to handle our business. Mike's going to handle his, see where we end up.
So I get it. I get that there's some people, it sounds like, feel like the Warriors put them on a yo-yo this week. And I just don't, I don't buy that. To me, that means that you were putting thoughts in their head, or you were maybe a little bit overly emotional with the way you reacted to what they said. I don't think it was a white flag earlier in the week. And I don't think anything in the reverse this time around. I don't think, for instance, I don't take from all of that that Steph is saying, damn it, we're still good. We're keeping this roster exactly as it is, and we're going for it. I don't think he's saying that either.
Well, he's saying that in the meantime. He's saying the roster is good enough, and we're going to go for it, and I believe in our guys. At the same time, Mike is going to do what he does. But for all the rest of you, put down the trade machine, watch us play, watch us gel and get better. And, you know, Mike is obviously going to work behind the scenes. And I do think that a stretch five, like Bob said, Bob Fitzgerald mentioning the idea of spacing, the number one thing that this team needs is spacing. And until you get a stretch five, can you get spacing? Well, absolutely. And if Buddy Hield can get back to shooting like he was earlier in the year, that creates spacing. And Dennis Schroeder and Bob even mentioned Draymond Green benefiting from spacing, which is why he's shooting 40% from three.
Absolutely. So you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.